Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So today I want to focus on an important concept with all the news that we're talking about. And that's really this idea, this kind of underlying concept in a lot of the things we perceive about ourselves today, whether you're talking about the United States or otherwise, this idea of some kind of overarching altruistic premise that anybody in any institution, government, corporation, doctor, anybody is always just inherently altruistic or always has your best interests in mind. That is almost never the case. And that's almost the only absolute I'll ever state is it's never the case that they're always altruistic. Nothing is ever absolute. And this idea that we've somehow been manipulated to see these positions as such, that they're always looking out for the best interest of Americans, or, you know, they would never do something that malicious because no, they're doing the right thing. They're human beings. Everybody in any position has their own agendas, their own sometimes malicious or sinister intentions behind these things, and we have to begin to recognize that. Now, before I move forward on some of the topics we're going to discuss today, I want to point out that I did an excellent interview with James Corbett. He always just has such an insight onto the things really going on that I want to make sure all of you take a moment to check out, which was entitled The Social Media Regulation PSYOP, which is also interestingly tied in with this same concept of seeing things as inherently altruistic. This idea that somehow the government coming in to regulate something is going to solve any kind of problem, any kind of government intervention, in my mind, is never the answer, whether we're talking foreign policy or domestic policy. And this idea that these people that will be regulating this process are somehow going to make sure that things are equal and fair just seems contradictory to the larger concept of things that we always discuss. The reality of whether, again, foreign policy or domestic policy, that these people will come in and do what's best for us without considering their intentions or their larger agenda, which is always on the table. So I recommend you check this interview out, because I think, in my opinion, any kind of regulation at all is a bad step. And this is an interview that really dives into the larger discussion points and how we're always susceptible to this problem, reaction, solution agenda, where they create a problem, which we then aggressively react to, and they swing in with the solution that they've had planned well before the problem was ever created. And we're always confronted with this, especially in this country. And we have to realize that yet again, this is what we're being confronted with. And this is, my opinion, not the answer. But as always, I'm open to other perspectives. I can see the insight into some of the arguments made on the other side of it. But I recommend you check out this interview for yourself. Come to your own conclusions, as always. So keeping this in line, in this vein of thought today, with exposing the people that we are told to see as inherently altruistic. To start with the first article of the day, coming from ZeroHedge.com, which is a big article, even in the title, the word bombshell, which I don't like to use very often, but this is an important topic today that is really exposing something, in my opinion, one of the largest institutions that are always looked at as inherently altruistic. Article entitled, "In Historic Bombshell, Vatican official accuses Pope Francis of covering up sexual abuse, calls for resignation." Now, this is a very profound development in this topic. People in many alternative platforms, outlets that I personally don't have a lot of faith in, that I think are using topics to mislead people, I'm not going to throw out names, have been talking about discussions around the Pope for a year, months now, saying that he will be accused of pedophilia, or they have allegations, or he's going to be fired. And, you know, so whether or not they did have some kind of insight into this developing story, or they were simply just discussing something we all kind of suspected, at least in this vein of thought, nonetheless, we are now seeing this come to pass where actual Vatican officials are calling for his resignation. So an 11-page written testament that has been called a truly historic bombshell, a former Papal Nuncio, or Vatican ambassador to the U.S., offers testimony concerning, quote, who in the hierarchy knew what and when about the crimes of Cardinal McCarrick. The testimony implicates a host of high-ranking churchmen and the Pope himself. A former official, Archbishop Carlo Mario Vigiano, 77 years old, said that the Pope, that Pope Francis in 2013, it discusses about allegations of sexual abuse against a prominent priest, and that Francis took absolutely no action when he was told about this. He's now calling for Francis to actually step down as Pope. Vigiano's statement is full of very strong allegations and concludes with the call for Francis' allegations, saying, quote, "In this extremely dramatic moment for the universal church, we must acknowledge his mistakes and, in keeping with the proclaimed principle of zero tolerance," again, the proclaimed principle of zero tolerance, "Pope Francis must be the first to set a good example to cardinals and bishops who covered up McCarrick's abuses and resign along with all of them." That is point blank. It's a big statement. Archbishop Vigiano, I think it's, Vigano. I don't want to mispronounce his name, but it looks like Vigiano, said in his written statement that Pope Francis continued to cover, quote, continued to cover for McCarrick, and not only did he, quote, not take into account the sanctions that Pope Benedict had imposed on him, but also made McCarrick his trusted counselor. Vigiano said that the statement, the former Archbishop of Washington advised the Pope to appoint a number of bishops in the United States, including Cardinals Blas Cooperich of Chicago and Joseph Tobin of Newark. I always find the Washington tie-in there very interesting. Pope Francis accepted McCarrick's resignation in July 28th. McCarrick had maintained his innocence, but this month, a Pennsylvania grand jury, which we reported on, issued a report that said that more than 300 priests abused more than 1,000 children, and likely thousands more over 7 decades, sadly much of which is well beyond the statute of limitations, which is, again, absurd to realize that these priests are being exposed for what they are and yet still can't be held accountable. Vigiano confirmed that he wrote the statement, speaking with CBS News, and said he was speaking out now to combat the grave situation in the church, to protect the church, and also to stop future abuse. He told them he had no agenda and was simply stating facts. This is a very big development, and it's hard for those that have actively said, oh, well, we should trust what the Pope says and what these cardinals say because they're in the church. Well, now we have an actual Vatican official or former saying the same, calling these people out. So it puts them in a sticky situation when you're saying, well, now who do we trust? It's very clear that this has been a developing story, and that there's mountains of evidence to suggest, and as well as even the, 39 Chilean priests that all stepped down under allegations of pedophilia. This is a very clear thing that we have proof to verify is going on. The question is whether or not the Pope was involved or covered it up. And again, I think that's pretty self-explanatory at this point, but come to your own conclusions. In a rebuttal to this, the Pope himself spoke out, and this article is entitled, "Pope Dismisses Explosive Testimony of Abuse Cover-Up. I will, quote, not say one word," which is interesting, the way that that's phrased. But this is definitely an interesting development to see his response to this. Now, speaking to reporters on a flight returning to Rome from an official visit to Dublin on Sunday, the Pope indicated he will not respond to explosive charges from a top Vatican official that the pontiff, which is what they call the Pope, knowingly covered up widespread sexual abuse. The Pope dismissed the bombshell document containing the charges, which emerged Saturday night, saying simply that the allegations, quote, speak for themselves. And then he would, quote, not say one word on the matter. Now, you could take that a couple ways, whether he's saying that they're true or that they're so obviously fake. That's for open to interpretation. Interesting way to cover to combat this. Now, speaking with reporters on Sunday, the Pope stated, quote, "I read that statement this morning. I read it, and I will say sincerely that I must say this to you, the reporters, and all of you who are interested. Read the document carefully and judge it for yourselves. I will not say one word on this. I think the statement speaks for itself, and you have sufficient journalistic capacity to reach your own conclusions." Again, very down the line, not saying it's not true, just simply saying that it speaks for itself. And if you do read the information, it seems pretty clear that there's some weight to this. So this is a developing story, but I truly do think that this is what we have known for a long time, truly coming out. I think there's more than enough evidence to suggest that there is, at the very least, a major cover-up of some horrible, horrible child abuse going on for centuries, if not much longer, at least that we can prove. So this is a developing story we'll keep track of and make sure we follow up with any developments, whether the Pope steps down or otherwise, but pretty profound story, especially with all the discussions we have about, you know, whether we're talking Pedogate or Pizzagate or just these concepts of people in these positions which at one point were said, now, how dare you even accuse someone like that of something like this, right? Without considering that it may in fact be true. Moving on to the next story, and another interesting one that I quickly want to touch on that I think is speaks for itself, and that if you watched this channel, you would already be well aware of exactly what this is indicating. The title is, in stunning reversal, Michael Cohen's attorney backpedals on Trump-Russia claims. Now, those of you that are watching this channel on a regular basis are not surprised by this at all, because it is, in fact, exactly what I said would happen. Not to say that I'm the only one, simply the reality that this story, as many others are completely tied to this Russiagate discussion, are being used and timed to keep your attention away from much larger things going on. As the article discusses, this will be reported on by some of the mainstream outlets, which it already has, but of course not breaking headline news somewhere farther down on the feed, if at all, and very few people will retweet this or talk about it, carrying the main story that Cohen knows the truth. And the reality that it's actually not the case. To the contrary, his lawyer is now completely pulling back everything they said. But it served its purpose, and people stopped paying attention to Yemen. They stopped paying attention to the allegations of Syria, false flag development, which we'll get to in a moment. And that's exactly what these things are meant to do. So not surprising to those that are, in fact, watching this channel on a regular basis. So Lanny Davis, the attorney for Michael Cohen, has massively backpedaled on confident assertions that Cohen would share information with investigators that President Trump knew of Russian efforts to undermine Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, who was in fact a lifelong friend of Lanny Davis himself, the lawyer. The Washington Post reported on Sunday that Davis said in an interview that he is, quote, no longer certain about claims he made to reporters on background and on the record in recent weeks about what Cohen knows about Trump's awareness of the Russian efforts. Now, just to make very clear, as I said before, this was a lawyer reporting that Cohen knew something that he was going to say. That's ridiculous that this was a headline story by supposed journalists. Reporting on something someone said about something they're going to say is not journalism. That is ridiculous, but we have to be able to see that this is how these things pan out. Even though CNN, Washington Post, and New York Times, and all these articles gushed about how the truth was finally coming out. In fact, it's not. And we should be able to see this finally, that this is what these people do. CNN reported in July that Cohen claimed to have witnessed Trump approving the meeting between Trump Jr. and Russian attorney Natalia Vesnitskaya, I'm terrible with the Russian names, I apologize if I mispronounce that, arranged by an associate of opposition research from Fusion GPS. Now, CNN reported in July that Cohen claimed. No, they reported that the lawyer claimed Cohen knew something that he was going to testify on, and this is what they're getting from, of course, coming from the research from Fusion GPS. The day after CNN's report, the Washington Post, using an anonymous source, of course, they now admit was Lanny Davis himself, peddled the same story that Cohen had told associates that he witnessed an exchange in which Trump Jr. told his father about an upcoming gathering in which he expected to get information about Clinton. I mean, this is just crazy that about an upcoming event that he expected to get something that he told from. This is ridiculous. As I've always said, this is he said, she said, tabloid news. And we have to realize that this is fake news. This is literally the definition of fake news. And an anonymous source, which was Davis himself to begin with, reinforcing his own story. I can't even grasp how people still believe in watching these outlets with the kind of nonsense that they put forward, backed up by their own ridiculous efforts behind it. Whether they're just incredibly inept at their job or they're trying to mislead you, there's only two options there. He goes, Davis says, quote, I should have been more clear, including with you, that I could not independently confirm what happened. He was, in fact, very clear that he knew for sure, but that's neither here nor there at this point when he's coming out saying that he somehow accidentally said the wrong thing. I don't know. Adding, perhaps, that the most difficult four words for an attorney to utter, I regret my error. Very interesting developing story. And, of course, I truly wonder what all of these people that gushed this money into his GoFundMe account, currently over $150,000, I wonder, you know, how they feel now about how this is developing, about how he was supposedly going to come out with the truth. Very interesting story here. And I think that another point to realize, all of these people that are dying of cancer and starving on the streets that have GoFundMe pages, they're trying to actually get help from you. And all the money went towards this gentleman who ultimately had nothing to say, as it turns out, and is just trying to probably save his own ass in regard to getting in trouble. or this is just a big distraction like I honestly think it is, yet they still gave him over $160,000. That has to resonate with us about the reality of all of this and how ridiculous it is that that's what people seem to want to put their money into as the country is struggling, yet they give him that much money. It still baffles me. It really does. Moving on to the next story, coming from TheIntercept.com, an interesting story related to the Yemen, getting into some more foreign policy news for the rest of the show, entitled Saudi-led coalition team to investigate civilian casualties is, quote, covering up war crimes in Yemen. Something I would argue is not very surprising to many of us watching this show on the regular, but this is an interesting report coming from people directly involved in what's happening here and dating back to the very beginning of this war, you know, or invasion, however you really want to look at it. It's not really much of a war. It's an invasion of a country and a country defending itself. And now we're seeing that they're very simply covering up their war crimes, as we've reported on continuously since the beginning. After multiple bombing, I guess bombings as well as, you know, the blockade, the manufactured cholera outbreak, all the many things they're carrying out, taking the lives of innocent civilians, and within the bombings, mostly children, and of course the fact that it was forced into mainstream media coverage by the independent media, the Trump administration urged the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition to investigate themselves of any wrongdoing and account for the loss of civilian lives. And remember that dating all the way back to 2015, there have been weddings and funerals and homes and all around civilian infrastructure that have been outright targeted. And to date, nothing has been done. We even showed you the interview, or rather the White House press briefing with Matt Lee in 2016, confronting Kirby, I believe his name was, about what's happening. And as he roundabout steps around saying, yeah, we're going to let them investigate themselves. I guess to date, still nothing has happened with that funeral. Now we're seeing the bus incident, the multiple buses with children dying, and they're supposedly investigating themselves yet again, which is what this article is about, which in fact they're not doing at all. According to The Intercept, a new report from Human Rights Watch finds, quote, fundamental problems with the way the coalition investigates allegations of civilian harm, accusing its members of trying to, quote, shield parties to the conflict and individual military personnel from criminal liability. You don't say. Protecting themselves from actually being held accountable. The 90-page report released Friday digs into the Joint Incidents Assessment Team, or the GIAT, a body the Saudi coalition created to investigate civilian casualty claims after the bombing campaign began in Yemen in 2015. By its own count, the assessment team has investigated 79 incidents in which airstrikes allegedly killed or wounded civilians. But the vast majority of its reports, apparently only 75 of which the Human Rights Watch could actually find, absolve the coalition of legal responsibility for the strike in question, either by claiming the coalition wasn't responsible in general or by determining the attack was an unintentional result of technical errors, which is always the seemingly go-to response of the U.S. in pretending that they have nothing to do with what happened there. The report also documents 17 incidences in which JIAT's conclusions were profoundly at odds with Human Rights Watch's own findings. According to Sarah Lee Whitson, the Middle East director at Human Rights Watch, quote, for more than two decades, the coalition has claimed that GIAT was credibly investigating allegedly unlawful airstrikes, but the investigators were doing little more than covering up war crimes. Governments selling arms to Saudi Arabia should recognize that the coalition's sham investigations do not protect them from being complicit in serious violations in Yemen. Not that we should take anyone's word at face value, but the Human Rights Watch organization is something that even these people on the other side of this argument have used to back up their own claims. So this is something that holds water in regard to their false allegations here. But we have to understand, or rather their false cover-up of these stories, or, you know what I'm saying, the false nature around all of this in manipulating the reality of the situation. It's very interesting to see this develop. As always, we question everything. We don't take anything at face value. But with all the evidence we have at hand in regard to Yemen, it's very, very clear that this is what's really going on. Simply with even just the last two events, with children in 50-plus, 60-plus children dying, it's very clear what's actually going on and that no one's actually being held accountable. And in a related story coming from ZeroHedge.com, entitled Yet Another U.S.-Saudi Massacre in Yemen, which we've already reported on, the main point being UN condemns airstrikes killing 22 children, which is the story we reported on, which actually, as far as I can tell, we broke that story from reports of Hussein al-Bukhadi on the ground in Yemen, who we'll have on the show very soon. And it's interesting I report on this, not because the UN necessarily is something that we should hold credible, but the reality that there is many, many independent international bodies who are actively now calling out what's going on in Yemen, despite the US's claims that it's not the case. So we have to consider that this is actually what's going on here. Just weeks after the US-Saudi coalition airstrike on a school bus in Yemen killed over 40 children, which we reported on then, we also reported on the coalition jets that struck another bus, killing 22 more children, with, of course, a deafening silence by the media that just a week before pretended to be concerned for such actions carried out by its government. Outlets such as The Last American Vagabond were of the first to report the 22 children killed, which was then picked up by some international media, and even one such as the Business Insider, which I found I was very happy to see that at least some mainstream media were trying to report what was going on. The fact that the UN quickly weighed in on the attack is actually very significant, given that both Saudi and United States gave aggressive and defensive statements indicating they do not deliberately target civilians or civilian infrastructure, despite all the death and evidence to the contrary. Earlier this month, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for an independent and prompt investigation into Saudi coalition airstrikes on civilian targets, including the August 9th school bus attack. UNICEF's regional director in the Middle East and North Africa had tweeted in the aftermath of the school bus massacre, "No more excuses." So it's very clear that there are many independent international bodies, and not independent, whether talking about the UN or otherwise, that are actively speaking out about the reality of what's going on in Yemen. Despite the brief discussion by the mainstream media and the sidestepping of any responsibility by the United States government, it's very clear that something is going on here. So as always, ask yourself why it's not being addressed and why the media is continually ignoring it for the most part. We have to hope that this gets more attention. And the UN is not the answer as far as I'm concerned, because it seems very clear that they ultimately are a toothless tiger when it comes to actually holding these people accountable. But at the end of the day, when we can get enough attention on what's really going on, we may actually see some change here. And it's very clear that the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition is actively targeting children and civilians. And to back up that story, a great article coming out today by Whitney Webb for Mint Press News entitled MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, wants Yemenis to shiver for generations when they hear Saudi Arabia vows to continue targeting children. Very interesting. Seems to completely contradict everything that the U.S. and even Saudi officials have been saying. We have to make sure we really understand what this is, what's being said here. And this is a profound statement. Now, on Monday, the U.N. humanitarian coordinator in Yemen, Lise Grande, called yet again for another independent and impartial investigation into the Saudi Arabia-led coalition's attacks on Yemeni civilians. And these repeated calls for actual investigation show just how false and disingenuous the U.S. and Saudi claims of not targeting civilians, and, you know, what's happening in Yemen is these are all legitimate military targets, how really disingenuous these truly are. Again, with all these different people calling out for this. Now, Grande stated that what is happening in Yemen is unimaginable, and added that, quote, "the time has come to wake up to the terrible reality of the war and its human cost, and the need to work together to end hostilities." Now, who could possibly disagree with a statement like that? Of course, the people that are carrying out the atrocities in Yemen. Despite the numerous international outcries from UN officials and other public figures, the concern over the coalition's extensive targeting of civilians is unlikely to influence Saudi Arabia's actions at all. Indeed, just as Grande called for an independent investigation, Middle East Monitor reported that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman had recently vowed to continue targeting women and children throughout Yemen in order to, quote, "leave a big impact on the consciousness of Yemenis for generations." Now, repeat that. He vowed to continue targeting women and children throughout Yemen in order to leave a big impact on the consciousness of Yemenis for generations. This is the very person the U.S. is supporting with your tax dollars, vowing to target women and children to make an impact. Sounds very similar to what's going on in Palestine with the Israelis, actively attacking civilian targets to punish them for resisting whatsoever. These are U.S. allies, backed with your tax dollars. Understand that. Mohammed bin Salman allegedly made these comments earlier this month during a meeting with coalition military commanders following the coalition's bombing of a school bus full of children in early August, which we reported on. The one that the Saudi-led coalition has openly defended as a legitimate military operation. Understand, we have 40 to 50 children who died in this bus on the way to a field trip, and they still maintain it's a legitimate military operation. I wonder how they're going to actually come out with some kind of investigation that says otherwise when they've already claimed that that's actually what happened. According to the report, Mohammed bin Salman also affirmed that, quote, he did not care about international criticism, and further stated that the coalition would continue to carry out military operations on civilian targets because, quote, we, Saudi Arabia, want their children, Yemeni's children and women, and even their men, to shiver whenever the name Saudi Arabia is mentioned. Now ask yourself if these are the kind of people that represent Americans. If these are the kind of people that the United States government should be spending our tax dollars to help. Ask yourself if this is what they pretend to represent around the world. Ask yourself if this is in any way better or worse than what's going on in Iran. Absolutely. To quite the contrary, Iran is absolutely not even close to what we're talking about here. They claim the opposite, but we have no proof to back that up. Right here, we literally have the leader of the monarchy authoritarian nation that the U.S. directly supports outright claiming that he wants to target women and children, despite the claims that that's never the case, openly saying it to make them shiver whenever the name Saudi Arabia is mentioned. These are the people the U.S. government supports. It has to resonate with us. Moving on to the next story, coming from antimedia.com, and for the final story of the day, entitled Russia Accuses Britain of Planning False Flag Chemical Attack in Northern Syria. Now, this is not a new story. We've been covering this since months ago when Russia accused France and the UK and US of already creating this. And obviously, this is coming to pass exactly as they said it would. Now, again, they're claiming something that we recently reported on about the chlorine tanks, and this is an important story to understand. Now, I'm not saying you should take what Russia says at face value either. We should be critical and skeptical of every report we see. But to date, there is more than enough evidence to suggest this is exactly what's carrying out. So I think it's important that we take this with a grain of salt like anything, but be open to the fact that this is, in fact, what's coming to pass. Because it makes absolutely no sense for someone in Assad's position to do this or plan it or carry anything out of the kind that would actually give them the only excuse they need, after Bolton even said as such, to stop them from taking back the last bit of their sovereign territory. Very interesting development. Now, with recent statements by the U.S. officials, which we talked about, threatening to attack Syria if chemical weapons are used, apparently by anyone in their vicinity, during the effort to take back Syria's sovereign territory from the U.S. in Idlib, Russian officials are openly concerned that a staged event is currently underway, which will allow the pretext for another U.S. attack. Russia issued a statement Saturday claiming that rebel groups, with the help of British special services, are preparing to stage a false flag chemical attack in Idlib, something that they can blame on the Syrian government so the U.S. has an excuse to attack, which is how we've seen this played out numerous times in the past, verifiably so. Russia's defense ministry reported 8 chlorine tanks, which we reported on a couple days ago, were recently delivered to Jisr al-Shunkur, a town in Idlib, and then later taken to a nearby village to stage a chlorine attack. Claims of chlorine attacks are common among rebels, and in the past, reports of a chlorine gas release can quickly grow into wild speculation without any evidence whatsoever of advanced nerve agents being used, as we saw in Douma. Direct attacks coming from the U.S. to an event we now know was not even carried out. In the past, the U.S. and Britain have required very little evidence with respect to such attacks, launching strikes before any investigation can even take place. 8 chlorine tanks would be likely more than enough to justify, in their minds, such an attack. Now, this is a very important thing we need to keep our eyes on and realize what's developing here. And also understand that everything that's going on, maybe in regard to Cohen or many other stories, are directly designed to keep us from paying attention to the bigger stories and how these things are very, very importantly defining what America is around the world. As these continue to develop, as the United States government continues, or rather the U.S. oligarchy, who has hijacked this country from the people, continue to support the worst around the world. It is literally changing the perception, if not already there, for the rest of the people around the world, about us, about the country, about many things. So it's time that we stop giving them this air of altruism and realize that just because they're in these positions does not make them inherently good, does not mean they inherently are seeking the best thing for the American people. In fact, quite the opposite. It seems very clearly they're trying to seek out what's best for them and the people who financially support them. So take all this with you, research it for yourself, make sure you share the links, make sure you dive into the show notes below and check out all the independent sources stay tuned on this channel for the TLAV research and review that we will discuss this and much more for the next couple hours. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.